What's up, ladies and gents, and welcome to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. I usually say welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts, but that really hasn't been the case lately because we haven't done too many podcasts this NFL season, focused more on results that has worked for us. And in case you have not tuned into this podcast before, or in case you don't know about Farley Betts, my name is Chris R. Farley, professional bettor for 4 years now and running. Here are a few reasons to perhaps pay attention to this preview of the NFC and AFC title games this weekend, brought to you by me, Chris Farley, Farley Betts. This season, we're just seeing things very clearly. We're hitting at 55% against the spread. It's in about 200 ATS plays. We've won over 30 units this season. I think it's like 30.4 or something like that. All plays. And in the third quarter of the Circa Millions NFL contest, we went 19-1 and took first place. That's five picks against the spread every week for 4 weeks. 19-1, $150,000 cash prize. So yes, we are seeing things pretty clearly this season. We have six straight NFL winning weekends heading into the title games. And I would like to just give you a few of my thoughts on these four great teams battling this weekend, because there are some really fun things to talk about. But of course, I'm expecting two really close games here. So let's get right to it. It'll be a pretty quick podcast today. I am still considering what this podcast is going to look like moving forward. I have a lot of ideas. I don't know how much time I'm going to have. Like, I don't have much time. So that's another story. I may also sound a little different. The cord to my mic just broke this morning. So I'm talking to you from my iMac speaker. Should be fine. Should be pretty clear, actually. It's an iMac, right? These things aren't cheap. But if I sound a little different, hopefully I'm not too muddled or, I don't know, sounding too much different than before, my apologies. But we should be back with a full professional microphone the next time we do this podcast. Also, please check out my free plays at sportmoney.com. Three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I release 6 to 7 free plays from the NBA to tennis to sometimes the NFL, although there are no NFL games during the week now, so that's a little more rare for me. And obviously, we only have one game left after this weekend, so probably no more NFL for a little while, but a lot of free plays at sportmoney.com and the Sport Money newsletter. We just went 6-0 for +9 units in the Australian Open in Monday's newsletter. So there's a little perhaps reason to consider tuning in, subscribing to the free newsletter. You can also pay, I think it's like $5 a month to get the newsletter every day. Not too bad. You can also check me out at Clubhouse TV. You can find them on Twitter, on X, if you look up Clubhouse TV. 2 days a week, talking NBA one day, talking NFL the other day. NFL is usually on Tuesdays, released on Wednesdays. NBA usually talk on Thursdays, and it's released on Fridays. Of course, for the NFL, I am joined by the great, legendary Lou Finocchiaro, who I just have learned a lot from this season. Always learning more in this industry of sports betting and sports handicapping. And we just have great conversations. So I really encourage you to check out those two shows. The NBA show, too. Ben and I are up like 15 units, hitting at like 65%, and the free plays we give out on that show as well. So check me out there. Check my plays out at PicksWise on these NFL games, which you probably, if you read my PicksWise plays this week, you'll see a lot of the things written there that I'm going to talk about today on this show. Let's talk Commanders and Eagles first. They meet for the third time this season, and obviously the entire football world is engrossed by Jaden Daniels, this rookie sensation, this prodigy, this phenom of a kid who just seems to say all the right things, do all the right things, make the right decisions on the field. And he's brought a Washington Commanders franchise. Now, of course, he hasn't done it alone, right? But The biggest change in this operation is coach Dan Quinn and new quarterback Jaden Daniels. And Jaden Daniels, you can see his growth all season. A little shaky in the first quarter of the NFL season, of course, for a rookie, you might expect that, but has not been shaky for a long time. Check out this stat. Since December, the last six games, and we won't count the one game where he didn't play much against Dallas in week 18, because that game didn't matter. Washington still won, by the way. But Jaden Daniels, over his last six games since the start of December, 247 pass yards, 66 rush yards, three touchdowns, and under one interception, 0.66 interceptions per game in his last six. No interceptions in the playoffs, 72% completion rate during that same span. The kid is just seeing the field, and he's seeing the field slowly, like he's a 10-year NFL veteran. He's able to process things quickly. He obviously has great processing speed. He looks like Patrick Mahomes out there in his decision-making to either throw or pull it down and run or scramble and then throw. He's just slick, and he's humble, and he's helping players up in the field, and he's listening to his mom when he's sitting in the crowd at a Washington Wizards game. Like, the kid just has it figured out. And this is a really, really rare trait, right? I remember it from back in my military days. There were just some guys who, under pressure, could not handle it. Most guys capitulate in some way under pressure. Most people do, right? Flight or freeze. Jaden Daniels is built, for whatever reason, for these high-pressure situations, and I haven't seen it handled as well by a rookie in a very long time, and maybe ever. Ben Roethlisberger comes to mind, but very few, especially at his size, right? He's not huge. He's, what, 6'1", 6'2", on a good day, maybe with some heels. But he sees the field, I should say, probably like 6'1", and like 190, 95 pounds, right? He's like just not a big dude, but finds a way. Very bright, very sharp, very accurate, very athletic. The kid just has it all. Now, they beat the Eagles, of course, in their second meeting this season. Now, Jalen Hurts wasn't in that game very much. There was a lot of Kenny Pickett. Jalen Hurts got injured. I guess that was a concussion in that one, week 16. But the fact that Washington won and put up 36 points, or 33 points, I think, on the Eagles is awfully impressive. Either way, right? It's still Saquon. It's still that offensive line. It's still that defense with Vic Fangio that's playing really well. And right now, the passing game for the Eagles hasn't mattered anyway. So how much should I consider Jalen Hurts in the passing attack when in two games, in two playoff games, Hurts has thrown for just 259 yards, 131 against Tampa Bay, 128 against the Rams. And if you take away the yardage lost from sacks, which was significant, seven sacks against the Rams, for example, last weekend, those passing yards go way down. So the passing attack for Philly just hasn't been there. And it can be there at any moment, right? Washington, just like Tampa and LA, they do not rate very well against the pass. Actually, these are like bottom-ranked defenses against the pass, including Washington. But lately, Washington is getting a good pass rush. They sacked Jared Goff twice last week, forced three interceptions, just had him rattled, seven QB hits. So Dan Quinn and that feisty defense, right, his defensive-minded coach, he's got some success in that area. He surely had some success in Dallas. The defense looked a lot better under him there. I think he's contributing to the success of the Washington Commanders and their improvement on defense. I mean, you got a quarterback like Jaden Daniels who can pass, he can run, right? So now you got the RPO, the run-pass option going behind center, just like Philly. And Philly obviously has the most explosive rushing attack. I mean, Saquon over 200 yards again last week. And he should be able to run all over Washington as well. I can only lean to the over in this game because weather doesn't seem like it's going to be a factor, because I think Jaden Daniels and the Commanders are at least going to get 24 points, which means that Philly's going to be chasing, or maybe Philly plays from ahead and Washington and Jaden Daniels is chasing. But either way, I like the over. Now, the Eagles are going to try and keep the ball away from Jaden Daniels, right? A lot of Saquon Barkley, keeping it on the ground, you know, bleeding the clock. It's a smart move. But this Washington Commanders defense has shown that it can step up in big moments and when it matters, and they can force turnovers, and they can get after the quarterback. And they know that Philly wants to run Saquon. I mean, the passing attack has been pedestrian, below average for Philly for a little while now, not just in the playoffs. So it's a pretty clear game plan for the Eagles offensively for Washington to, in quotes, figure out. And Washington is already very familiar with this Eagles offense, right? I think the Eagles offensive line is just too good. I think they do have success offensively. And I think Jaden Daniels has plenty of success offensively too. Even though Vic Fangio and that Eagles defense is playing well, Rams still gained over 400 yards last Sunday in the wind, in the snow. And obviously when you got a quarterback like Matthew Stafford with the howitzer of an arm that he has and the way that he throws the ball to Puka Nacua and his guys, okay, that happens. But Jaden Daniels is not a step down from that, not the way he's playing right now. 72% completion percentage. Even when he throws an interception, it's often not his fault. Commanders and over are the only ways I could look here. And maybe even consider teasing the Commanders since, hey, it's the NFL playoffs. Things happen, right? This is a volatile sport. And you can get the Commanders for plus 12 and a half right now. Okay. All right. 12 is not a key number in NFL margins of victory. Like, very rarely do games end on 12. So you're in a pretty good spot there. Over 3, over 6, over 7, over 8, over 10, over 11, right? You got the 8 and the 3, right? Two-point conversion with a field goal. 12 and a half, teasing up the Commanders, not too shabby. Those are the ways I would look to attack this game. I'm not taking away anything from Philly. I do have natural, like, organic bias against Philly. I hate the Eagles as a Giants fan, and growing up in Eastern Pennsylvania from the ages of 5 to 18, born in Northern Jersey from a New York Giants religious family. Like, basically, that was our religion growing up. I mean, we were Catholic, but, you know, I was born a Giants fan, I like to say. So I hate the Eagles. Don't get it twisted. But that doesn't mean that we're not thinking correctly in this one, that the Commanders can't hang around in this one. Everything Jaden Daniels and this Commanders franchise is showing is that they believe, they're poised, and Lord knows they're not afraid of the NFC East rival Philadelphia Eagles. Who would have thought it, huh? Eagles and Commanders in the NFC Championship game. And everyone's talking about the NFC North this season. The NFC West is feisty with Seattle and LA and obviously San Francisco, always in the picture, we thought. Not so much this season. Pretty crazy that the Commanders and Eagles come out as the NFC title game. Would be pretty awesome to see the Commanders representing the NFC in the Super Bowl, because what a story that would make for. I think the Eagles win this game, but I think it's very close. The Bills and the Chiefs. Get your popcorn ready. Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes, right? We've seen this story before. Another legendary matchup. The fourth time in the last 5 years that these two teams will meet in the AFC playoffs. And of course, in every one of the last three wars, those Chiefs have come out the victor. Although it's worth noting, in those last two wins, guys, the Buffalo Bills and Kansas City Chiefs, very, very close games. One required overtime. The other was decided by just a field goal in the playoffs. So it's no mystery then. It's not surprising that it's only a 1.5 to 2 point chalk in favor of the home team, Kansas City Chiefs. And listen, you're going to hear, you're probably still hearing, you're definitely going to hear it during the game on Sunday. Like, don't go on Twitter during the Bills and Chiefs game on Sunday. Just don't, you know. Like, I'm going to try to avoid it too, because once the Chiefs get one penalty in their favor, everyone's going to be bitching and complaining. And I know, maybe you're one of those people, right? Maybe you're like, the NFL is jinxed. It's rigged. It's it's made for the Chiefs to win. They want Taylor Swift to be out there on the field. And first of all, just take a step back. Like, could you imagine the how that would have to be orchestrated for the whole thing to be rigged? Like, all the moving parts, all the personalities, all the athletes who go on TV in front of the media and say all these things, they would just all have to be lying. Could you imagine? Like, that's not happening, folks. Like, stop just, like, listening to Joe Rogan and thinking that everything's a fucking conspiracy. Like, it's not, okay? I love Joe Rogan, too, for many reasons, but we're getting a little too crazy as Americans in this way, all right? You might hate it that the Chiefs keep winning, but the Chiefs don't give a fuck that you hate that they keep winning. And, in fact, the fact that you keep hating on the Chiefs is going to give them more fuel. So keep it up. Keep on doubting the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are going to win this game as well. I don't like that. I would much rather Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, who want to win a Super Bowl, who went through the painstaking early 90s with Jim Kelly and those Bills against the Cowboys year after year, and then against the Redskins at the time, in that one Super Bowl, and they could not win, right? They faced the Giants one year, missed the field goal. Like, the Bills cannot win Super Bowls. I want Josh Allen. I love Josh Allen. I love Bills Mafia. I want them to win too. I get it. But it doesn't mean it's going to happen. And we have to use our brains, not our hearts, in these situations. And when you consider what's going to happen on the field come Sunday, right? Arrowhead, cold, the Kansas City defense, it is better than the Buffalo defense. Statistically, that's true, but we know in the playoffs how well that defense plays, how ready to go and how aggressive Steve Spagnuolo and Chris Jones and all the actors that they have there on the field, how they're able to step up and shorten the field. Josh Allen's going to have some success in this game. You know, there's no doubt about it. And he was magnificent earlier this season, back in week 11, when they beat the Chiefs. He was responsible for 145 of the last 153 combined yards of two fourth quarter touchdown drives for the Bills to seal the win against the Chiefs in week 11 at home. But there are a number of things that are different about this game. First of all, that was at Orchard Park. This is at Arrowhead. Secondly, the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes threw an interception on the first drive of that game, and Mahomes threw an interception on the final game of that drive, or their final drive of that game. Okay, I don't think the same thing's going to happen on Sunday. Maybe it does. This Bills defense has been forcing turnovers all season. But this is another situation where teasing up the Bills to +8, +7.5, depending on your book, and then maybe choosing the Kansas City money line might not be a bad idea, right? A nice hedge there, a nice 8-point hedge on both sides. Like, there's plenty of room in the middle. 3, 6, and 7 are key numbers in the NFL. 2 is an increasingly important key number in the NFL. Key numbers means that's the margin of victory that most games end on. Like, when we say most, more than any other number, 3, 6, 7. 8, 2. You're covering all those numbers. Now, if the Bills lose by 8 and you have them +8 in a two-leg teaser, you will lose that teaser. Okay, so we shouldn't say they're covering the 8. But teasing up the Bills and Josh Allen and the way their offense is playing and how he's playing, arguably the best player in the world right now, and their defense did step up last week. I mean, Derrick Henry, 84 yards on the ground. He did not take over that game. Lamar Jackson certainly had some great moments, and the Ravens still, I think they got like 500 yards in that game or something. But they made plays when it mattered. They forced turnovers. But if I have to depend on the Bills defense to force turnovers against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid at Arrowhead, I just can't do it. I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be close. But I'm not going to depend on that to make the difference. Not when you got Chris Jones on the other side, who Chris Jones hasn't done as much this regular season. But what happened? His first playoff game, like right at the start of that game, Chris Jones gets a sack, right? And their defense just starts to completely disrupt CJ Stroud. 8 sacks by the Kansas City defense last week against the Texans. And I know Texans got more yards, blah, blah, blah. Zero turnovers, though. The Chiefs made the plays when it mattered, guys. That's what they do. You don't have to like it. You can look at the stats and you can think you're smarter than what's happening out there on the field. But unless you are a part of an actual athletic program or team, or if you were in the military, you might not have any conception. Like, be a little humble, okay? You might not know what the fuck it takes to win on a battlefield, right? Which is what a football field resembles in a lot of ways. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, they know how to do that. Now, as far as the total goes, which also sits around 47, 47 and a half, I don't have as strong thoughts on that one. I think it could go either way, but I do lean to the under in that game. Again, it's always going to be a little colder, a little windier, a little messier than what they say it's going to be in Kansas City, because it's, you know, it's the grass, it's at night, it just gets a little murky over there, especially at this time of the year. I mean, it's going to be cold at least, right? Defenses are going to be hitting hard. These two teams know each other so well. I mean, they're as close to a rival as you can get for being a non-divisional opponent, for as often as they see each other in the playoffs, and they usually face each other during the regular season most years. And, you know, on Buffalo's side, for what it's worth, you know, they held Lamar Jackson and the Ravens to just 10 points in the first half and 6 points in the fourth quarter last week. So, again, they stepped up when it mattered. Would I rather bet on Patrick Mahomes in those situations in the playoffs? Yes. But are they going to be able to limit or perhaps stop the Chiefs in some ways at some crucial points of this game? Also, yes. I lean under two high-level defenses here. You got two of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game in the NFL currently, of course, playing in this game too. So people are going to want to choose the over. And I do think that's a mistake. I think it's like a 23-20 type of game. With that, you can check me out with Lou Finicaro. Again, that show will go live tomorrow. I'll retweet it on Twitter, on X, excuse me. I will retweet it on X. Like, we still say tweet, which is why I say Twitter. Anyway, I will retweet that on X on Wednesday. Check me out on the NBA show. Check out sportmoney.com. Guys, girls, let's keep winning. The NFL, like, it's not impossible to win. And the biggest part of that, I will end it like this with a little proselytizing, pontificating. One of the best ways that you can win by betting the NFL is to not bet very much. Be judicious about your positions, but be confident about those positions. Put a lot of time and work into those positions, and that's it. Don't let, you know, like a fantasy babe or you know, like a legend in the game who loves to condescend about the way he bets. Don't let those people create more betting spots in your mind. Trust yourself with this. We're all sports betting. We're all watching sports. Like, I'm not a genius, right? Like, guys and girls who win a lot in the NFL, they're not geniuses. They just work hard. They monitor the market. And they're careful about the amount of exposure they have in a very difficult NFL marketplace. Until next time, don't know what this podcast is going to be moving forward, but I'm excited to find out with the rest of you. Love you all. Thanks for listening. Farley Betts, let's fucking go. We're out of here.